Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good.
All the time.
We also know that God has called us with three commands, that we are to love Him, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is our vision. This is our mission. And we are going to do that very thing today with this word into our own lives to teach us to love God, to show us how we can love others, and then to go with these very realities into our own lives first and then unto the world. Because it's one of the things that, you know, I've told many of you, and you've heard it through many of my sermons, that before I can preach a sermon, I have to eat this thing. Well, guess what? I can preach a word to you, but before you can do anything with it, who has to eat it? I should hear you saying, I do. What's that?
I do.
Oh, that's a little better. Now, how many of you believe that? I didn't get one I do out of that. But I do. I believe that we are to take into ourselves the Word of God from the beginning all the way to the end. For in the fullness of it, we have life everlasting because the Word is Jesus Christ. We cannot change any of it because if we do, now we're telling God that we are God and we can determine what is good and what is not. And none of us can do that. So today, let us turn to the Word. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. We're going to be in chapter 43. We're going to begin in verse 16. And the sermon title for us today is God Wants to Do a New Thing in Your Life. How many of you like new things in your life? You know, I think it's awesome. You know, we do. We want new things. We want new adventures. We want new paradigms coming. But we only want the ones that are good for us and suit our needs, right? We don't want the ones that may change me a little bit and cause me to do something that I might not want to do but I enjoy doing this. And God says, yes, but there is a way unto man that seemeth right, but in the end leads to death. So I think we need to check ourselves at the door and ask God what He has for us and what He wants us to think. Because God is doing a new thing, new to us, but it's not new to Him. For He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. But when He enters in with us, we begin to change and we see things anew. So from verse 16, let us read the word of the Lord. From the 43rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the mighty man. They will lie down together and not rise again. They have been quenched and extinguished like a wick. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Blessed be the word of our Lord this morning. Now, you know that's not where I'm going to stop in the word, but this is where I've got to stop because I need to espouse this a little bit. When we look at this, Isaiah here is literally looking back to the day of Moses, and he is remembering how God delivered them from Pharaoh. Do you see it here? He's showing them, you know, hey, this is what happened in the past. This is what was. Don't think on it anymore because God's going to do a new thing. God has something yet in store for you. We can look back and we can see what God did with the people in the past, but I'm going to tell you right now, He's not going to put a burning bush in your living room. Number one, most of us won't climb the mountain. Because it's hard work. But God says, I have something for you. But I need you to stop dwelling on the things of the past. How many of us are dwelling with the things of the past? Because this was a good thing. God's telling them, don't dwell with this good thing, this good remembrance. How many of us dwell with all the negative things in our lives? And we're constantly allowing the evil one or other people to bring them up and cast us down. We should not be paying attention to any of that stuff. Don't give it power. You are giving evil power over you as soon as you begin to do that. Because even as these people look back and they know Pharaoh's army was destroyed, let us remember something here. Was Pharaoh destroyed? No. The king of Egypt was still there. And how long do these people over there in the Near Eastern countries hold a grudge? Do we see what's going on over there right now between Iran and Israel? This stuff's been going on since creation, since the time of Abraham. And it's going to continue until the day the Lord comes again. Because they will not stop looking at the past and see what is in the present. Where do we live? You don't live in the past. It's dead. It's gone. It's not coming back. I have never seen anyone come back. The only one who ever did come back, well, there were actually a couple, because there was a little girl that came back. There was Lazarus who came back. But the one who came back that changed everything was Jesus Christ. And he's coming again. Can I get an amen? So when we think about the past and how much power we give it when we have this time, what can we affect the past? Absolutely not. But oh, can it affect you? Because the evil one can make you think everybody's thinking about this thing that happened to you 25 years ago, and folks, you don't even have the same address anymore. We are no longer of this earth. We are of the kingdom of God. We have moved. And Christ has restored us back to that image. He is bringing it forward to us in progressive sanctification. As we grow, there's a newness coming every day. But we have to engage it. Let go of these things that have controlled you and walk by the will and love of God. Because if we will, then God has for us something even more that is better in store. From verse 19, we hear of it. From verse 19, we receive this word. He says, "Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it?" And that's where I'm going to hold on verse 19, because the last part of that sentence should actually not be in verse 19. It should be verse 20, and that's Pastor Rich saying that because men put the numbers in the Bible. God didn't. And I'm a man, so I can say that. When I look at this verse, God is using it. It is the apex of this statement. And he says, "I'm doing a new thing." And from the NIV, I love this. I love the NIV in some instances because the NIV gives us a little bit better nuance on some of these words that are translated. From the NIV, it says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" What is perception? Perception is to know, to see it in advance, to recognize something is happening, something is coming. How many of us can see the future? For heaven's sakes, we can't see what's going on right now. And I think it's hilarious. God says, "Do you not perceive it?" Do you know what that implies on the holy nature of God? It implies that he wants us to think his thoughts. But wait a minute, Pastor. Doesn't the Bible say his thoughts are not our thoughts? His ways are not our ways? His ways are higher than our ways? Yeah. So how in the world am I going to perceive what God's doing? Folks, this is really kind of simple. How many of you are in Christ Jesus? I ought to see a bunch of hands going up in the air. If you are in Christ Jesus, you have the one thing. No. You have the one person you need. And he's called the Holy Spirit. He is called the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit makes us aware of all the things of God. But we have to perceive. What does that mean? You have to look into it. Okay? That's why I like the NIV translation here, because it calls us into action. When we read it in the NASB, it says, will you not be aware of it? That question presupposes that, well, perhaps we won't. Well, the reality is you won't if you're not pursuing God. And that's one of the things that we need to understand. Turn in your Bibles to the book of John. We're going to be in the book of John. We're going to go to John 16. John chapter 16. We're going to read 7 through 15. From the seventh verse of the book of John, in the 16th chapter, thus saith the word of the Lord. Jesus here is speaking to us. He says, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. When we understand that word, what does it mean to understand? It means to come under, correct? And then apply it to your life. When we come under that word, when we begin to understand John here, what Jesus is telling us, that this helper is going to come. In other translations, it calls him the comforter. And in other translations, it calls him the counselor. How many of us need a counselor? Every hand should be in the air. I need a counselor. I don't see everything clearly. I don't understand everything clearly because I have the mind of a man. I have a temporal mind. But God has an eternal mind, and he gives me his eternal mind through the power of the Holy Spirit, who's going to guide me and you into all things. Because God has something new he wants to do with you and for you. He doesn't want you going back to the same old stuff. He wants us moving forward in Christ Jesus, that we become the full image of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about what's happening in the world today. How many of you realize, whether we want to say it or not, we have entered into a war. We have entered into a war. I don't like war. None of us do. Can I say that what President Trump did was wrong and he needs to repent and et cetera, et cetera? I've read the book. This stuff's a coming. And it's getting closer and closer by the day to his coming. And all we need to do is understand that these things are going to be. How do we know that? Because it was written when? In the past. Hundreds and thousands of years ago were these things prophesied about. So we simply need to be aware and ask the Holy Spirit to show us what is happening. What is happening is the coming of the Lord. He's getting closer. How many times do I have to say, I swear I hear the hooves on the road of heaven? How far away is heaven? I'm hoping it's a long way away because there are many more people who need to come before he comes. Can I get an amen, church? And how many of us need to change our lives? Not that we can achieve anything unto our salvation, say the cross of Jesus Christ, because it is only by his merit that we come in. And it's only by the understanding of the Holy Spirit that these things even matter in our lives. But God wants to teach us new things. He wants us to not be afraid, because how many people in years past have been afraid of war? How many people right now are looking to the future and worrying about what's going to come? Oh my goodness, what's going to happen? Folks, you don't live in the future. You don't live in the past. You live in the
present.
It's a gift. So take it and receive it and live it to the full. We need to understand God wants to do a new thing. Get out of this old stuff. That means renewing our minds. That means allowing God to speak directly to you and guide you into everything He wants for you to do. How many of us would have thought we were going to be here 2 years ago? Absolutely not.
I thought I'd be someplace else.
But here we are. Why? Because God's doing a new thing in the heart of Christ Church. God wants to do a new thing with you. He wants to do a new thing with you, even while we're here. It was my hope and prayer that I'd be saying about going on the prayer walk today. Of course, I did not expect a 100-degree heat index in Pennsylvania within 3 days of seeing 74 degrees. So today, we won't be going on our prayer walk. But does that mean that we stop loving the Lord, Miss Susan? No. We love Him all the more. So now, instead of us going out, that means I have to go out. I have to share the word of the Lord with whomever I'm with in this day. Because God wants to do a new thing, not only in my life, but in the lives of others. How do I know that? Let us go back to the book of Isaiah. Let us go back to the book of Isaiah and let us look to what He has said to us and understand that word. And that means to come under it. He says, I will, from verse 19, we're going to be in B, I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will glorify me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I have given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself will declare my praise. Now again, what was Isaiah talking about here? Isaiah is talking about their trek from the past. Well, didn't he just tell us not to worry about the past? Well, he's using the past to show us that God was doing a new thing even then. Did God ever part the Red Sea? No, that was the first time it happened. That's called a new thing. Because He made a way in the wilderness. They couldn't go anywhere. The army was behind them and the sea was in front of them. What were they going to do? Over 4 million people. If they'd have gone into the sea, they'd have drowned. But God made a way in the wilderness. And then they get out there in the wilderness and there's no water because it's desert. And I think this is funny. Because who does it say He praised them? Praised Him in the desert. For water. The jackals and the ostriches. Because what he's talking about there is when Moses struck the rock and water flowed. And that water was enough water to not only water the people of Israel, but all the living creatures of that desert. And the animals glorified God. Did the people glorify God? No. What did they do? They grumbled against Him within days. So even when He does a new thing, are we appreciative of it? Do we see it? Do we grasp it? You know, or is it, oh, it was coincidence. Wow, wasn't it just so neat how that water came out of that rock? I bet it'll happen tomorrow, too. No, there is no such thing as coincidence. There is a holy God who's willing to work in your life and bring new things into your life, and are you willing to see Him? Because if you're not going to see Him and you're not going to glorify in Him, do you think He's going to continue to do these things in your life? I think it's most amazing that we as Christians go about every day seeing miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, and we just act as if, yep, isn't that cool? And we go on, and we don't think anything more of it. I can ask some truck drivers in this congregation, how many times has God saved your life behind that wheel? I can ask some of you in here, how many times have you had a doubt or a fear that seemed so overwhelming that you couldn't get away from it, and all of a sudden you called somebody and the two of you prayed, and it was taken care of. You know, I think of Sister Marion right now. She went in, she had her surgery. And I'm telling you right now, when that pathology report comes back, it's going to be clean. There wasn't anything there for them to take.
Amen.
They took it anyway, because that's what doctors do. That's what we do in our world. We don't wait to see what God's going to do. But I'm ready to wait. I'm willing to wait. Because God wants to show me something of himself. God wants to show you something of himself. Because he is bringing this water and the rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, and will declare my praise. Will you declare the Lord's praise? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We need to be about that praise. We need to be about recognizing what God has done in this world and what God is doing in this world. How many of us have spoken about this wonderful facility that the Lord has blessed us with and these wonderful people who are joining us every week and the community that we are going to go into and encourage and allow them to see the love, the hope of God through his Son, who is our Savior Jesus Christ, by the power of his holy word. Can I get an amen? You know, I get to stand up front here and talk and bring all this wonderful stuff. But the reality is we have to be the ones to experience it together. That is the life and growth of the church. And God wants to do a new thing. You know, I think it's quite amazing because everything here is going to change. All right? And when I say that, I seriously mean it. We've already begun changes in our processes. Miss Beth has come online as our church administrator. I had to beg and plead, but she said yes. And can I get a praise God on that one? Because relying on me for everything just don't get it all done. So now we've got Miss Beth online. Well, guess what? We had someone else online before that. She's right here. How many of you love Miss Susan's music?
Yes. Thank you.
I am so grateful for this dear woman and her heart and her talents and spirit. Oh, my heavens. I don't tell her what to do. I think she's surprised by that. But I want you to operate in your gifts. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Who am I to tell you what to do? But he will when we seek him out, because he wants to do a new thing. And I'll guarantee you, Carl, Bernie, Miss Sally, is the worship different now than it was before?
Yes.
Yeah. Because,
in a good way.
Yeah, exactly. Because God's doing a new thing. We still have the old, which is fresh and new every day anyhow, because we hold to the doctrine of our faith. That's our hymnology. And we use it to remind us of his glory, to remind us of his goodness, because we are expecting those very same things to come into our lives in new ways. But then we praise him from the contemporary. Why? Because it's reaching our heart alive here today and now, that new thing that is happening. And all together, we weave it. How many of you think heaven's going to be a little different than things are here on earth? I'll guarantee you it's a new thing like you ain't never seen, but it's been going on for thousands of years. It's going to be new to us. And the amazing thing is it's new to God every day because he is fresh and new every day. His mercies are fresh and new every day. And today, I want you to understand that if the past has got you down, there are streams of living water that God wants to reveal unto you. He wants you to see that there is hope in tomorrow, but you've got to look for him today. You know, folks, I think it's a horrible thing. We waste so much time Because we look at, well, you know, tomorrow's another day. Well, hang on. How many hours are left in today? Even if it's 11:59 on the eternal clock and Jesus is getting ready to come in 60 seconds, I still have 60 seconds to get it right. Amen. Don't waste a moment of the time God has given you, because those moments stack into eternity and will last forever. When we've been there 10,000 years, we'll have no more time than we just begun. Can you imagine that? Why isn't every day that reality here in a good sense? How many of us live like it's going to last forever and this is never going to end and I'm going to be in sorrow and pain forever? And God says, no, you won't turn to me. Look for me with all your heart. And what? I'm going to ignore you until the ends of time. No! When you search for me with all your heart, declareth the Lord, I will be found by you. And there's relief. There's hope. There's mercy. There's compassion. There's healing. There is the newness of Jesus Christ in each and every day of our lives. But we have to be willing to perceive it. Are we going to search it out? And it's not just an it. It's a him. He is God Most High. So when we start looking at this new thing, will you not see it? Yes, you will. But you have to be willing to perceive it, which means look for it. Come into it. Enter in with him. Because brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, when Elijah was looking for God, he was looking for the reprieve. How did God show him to look? Was he in the earthquake? That great and powerful shaking? No, absolutely not. Was he in the fire that destroyed everything? No, absolutely not. Was he in the fierce wind that literally made the rocks fall off of the mountain? No. Where was he? In the still, small voice. Because God wants our attention. God wants our attention. He doesn't want your byproduct. He doesn't want you glancing and expecting something to happen. He wants you purposely concentrating, meditating, and coming to him for purpose. That's perceiving. Will you search him out? Today, it's my prayer that you will. God has something new for you. And I'm going to tell you right now, that new, it's going to come whether you come along or not. The only question is, are you going to receive the blessing in it? Because if you're not perceiving it, if you're not searching for it, the blessing won't be there either. That's God's word, because God wants us working with him, not against him, and not to receive something, but to be changed ourselves. Can we understand that? I mean, this is some tough teaching here today. It really is, because God wants us to change. Look what's happening in our world. Again, what did I just say earlier? We're in the midst of war. Why? Because people are evil above all things. Wait a minute, doesn't the world say people are good? How about if we let God determine that? And what does he have to say? No one is good, for no one seeketh God. And I think it's amazing, because I've heard Christians say to me, oh, well, that's not true. I seek God all the time. Did you seek him before you were a Christian, before you came to Christ? No, you didn't. And how much are you seeking him now for your own good rather than the good of God and the good of others and then going? Remember, when we talk about what we talk about because it's who we say we are, what are we supposed to do?
Love God.
Where does it say anything about me in that? talks about God, talks about others, and talks about going. Now, wait a minute. 3 points, and none of them say anything about me receiving anything, do they? Tells me that I need to give something, doesn't it, Miss Susan? You see, when we perceive what God is doing, we give up self. We give up that other God, me, myself, and I. And all of a sudden, it is about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And He is reaching out to others through us. And we see our place. Do you see my shirt today? Only Jesus can turn a mess into a message. If you knew me before I was a pastor, you wouldn't believe I'm standing up here. A test into a testimony. If you've been in my shoes and the things I've gone through, I can tell you the glory of God. As I've said, most of you know how many heart attacks, how many pulmonary emboli. Okay, a car wreck took out my hip, took out my knee. Should be dead. Thank you, angel. Turns it right into a testimony. What else does it say? A trial into a triumph. Oh my goodness, how many of you can talk about that one? And then finally, and I love it, a victim into a victory. Isn't that our world? Everybody's the victim. They're all coming after me. No, there's only one coming after you, and you're letting him get away with it. And his name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The only one I want to deal with is the one who's writing the Lamb's Book of Life. Because he is the one who makes the rest of this happen. He has a new thing for each and every one of us. The question is, will you perceive it? Will you seek him? Because if you do, he'll change you. He'll change this world. And it's a coming. How many of you know that? It's a coming. Unfortunately, not everybody's going to go when it comes. But may we be found among the faithful. And may we seek others to bring into the faithful. Can I get an amen?
Amen,
brother. Pray with me. Father God, we want you to do a new thing. We want you to work in our lives through us, empowering us to see things with new eyes, having the hope that Jesus, who is the Christ, is coming, and we see the rumblings, we hear the things that are happening, and Lord, we understand the time is drawing short. So may that new thing begin today in each and every one of our lives. Yes, Lord, we see where you have us, and we graciously appreciate it, and we will remember and give you thanksgiving. But we're not going to live there. We're going to move forward into what is yet to come. Because in this moment, this is where you have me. May I be found faithful, and may I be changed to be the image of Jesus, who is the Christ, bringing life-giving waters in the places of desert. In Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.